The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Well, here we are, everybody. Middle of the week. It's Wednesday, June 24th. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Talk Back. And we do have open phones for just a little while, but we have a special guest coming on the phone at 8:10. Brian Broussard's going to be joining us from Remedus Angus Ranch. Talk about what's going on his spread. And we'll have open phones from 8:20 until 9. And then we have a special guest, executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation, Catherine Conan, is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. So all sorts of things going on. But right now, we'd love to hear from you. If there's something going on in your world, we can just have a few open phones if you'd like. 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Mr. Nickel, what's going on with you? I like your Anaheim Ducks shirt. That's pretty cool looking.
Thank you.
Hockey fan, ladies and gentlemen, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. No, nothing too exciting. I'm a little sore today because I helped my mom yesterday. We put in a rock border around her fence line to make it easier to mow, and then did a paver patio for her. And so my hands are a little beat up and a little tired this morning, but yeah, other than that, doing good.
Well, all right. So if there's anybody that could provide a massage for Nick, I'm just kidding. Anyway, well, good to know. And we'd love to hear from you folks. Open phones here at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. I was just looking real quickly at road tripping in Montana. There's about 72% of adults planning to take a road trip this summer, according to Wallet Hub. Now, how does Montana stack up here? According to this particular survey, unfortunately, Montana ranks 42nd in the country at vehicle miles traveled per capita. Well, that would be, you know, that would make sense because Montana is a very big state. Right.
Mm-hmm.
However, the one place where Montana, I'm hesitate a little bit to say this, when it comes to car thefts per capita, Montana ranks, are you ready? 17th in the nation out of 50 states. About car thefts. I don't know. Maybe our cars are just nicer or easier to steal or we're more trusting or whatever.
You hear it all the time. I mean, a lot of people leave their cars unlocked and they're front doors unlocked, and I know we've talked with our county attorney Matt Jennings about this a little bit, and you know, he's mentioned times are different than when they were before. You could kind of get away with that, not have to worry about it, but now, I mean, they're encouraging you not to leave any valuables in your car, and obviously keep them locked. And yeah, and I mean, if you leave, you know, a laptop out, if you're a student, you know, in the front seat, or
not
you know, a briefcase or something, I mean, there's people looking in to target you and take those things. So, yeah, you got to be real careful. I mean, I get nervous sometimes just leaving my golf clubs in my car, you know. So it's one of those things. But, yeah, just lock your doors. It doesn't take that much time or effort, and then you don't have to worry about it usually.
Well, for some of us who are not really great golfers, I sometimes leave my golf clubs in the back of my SUV. And
you're hoping they get taken.
Maybe somebody could make better use of them than I do.
Yeah,
but anyway, at least maybe they'd make par every now and then. But just let me know, though, if you do steal my clubs, and just let me know how you do with them, and then maybe you can give me some lessons.
So, there you go.
Anyway, yeah, we have the phone lines are open right now, but we have in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Brian Broussard. He's going to be joining us this morning from Remedus Angus Ranch. We'll be talking about his business and what's going on with the Angus Ranch business here in western Montana. And we're going to take a quick commercial break here in just about 10 seconds. And when we come back, we'll be visiting with Brian from Remedus Angus Ranch. So we're coming right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network right after this timeout.
at Palms.
Dennis Bragg updating the weather. A sunny and warm day today before conditions start to fall apart on Thursday. Highs this afternoon should reach into the mid-80s, but with clouds developing later tonight, bringing a 20% chance of rain and lows in the low 50s. Get that lawn mowed because Thursday is now looking mostly cloudy with sun breaks, a 20% chance of showers with afternoon thunderstorms. Highs staying in the 80s for one more day, then a cool down Friday with showers and thunderstorms to end the week, lasting right through the marathon weekend.
Hey, we are back. This is Talk Back on this Wednesday, June 24th. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we're privileged to have with us Brian Broussard with Reminis Angus Ranch joining us on the phone. Brian, good morning, sir, and welcome once again to Talk Back.
Good morning. Glad to talk to both of you.
You bet. And we're thrilled. We have a statewide audience now. And so I just want you to know that people are listening to you all over the state of Montana today. And we're looking forward to talking about Reminis Angus Ranch. And if you could just share a little bit about your spread and what you do and share why it's important.
Well, you know, we've talked about that and people are really learning more about beef, learning more about cows. That's one thing that our whole goal is to make the public aware of how beneficial cows are to the environment, how beneficial beef is to your health. It's the most nutrient-dense food you can put in your body in all forms, whether it's saturated fat, whether it's protein, collagen, CoQ10, folate, all 8 essential vitamin Bs. It's very important. You can't get better food in your system. And we got a couple things that I was going to talk about today. One is when you look up all the nutrition, we just came out with our beef supplements, and the amount of nutrition that's in beef liver and heart that you can put in your body every day is absolutely amazing. But when you look it up, when you look up the sources of all the vitamins and minerals to go into your system, it rarely brings up beef as a source. And so you have to go back in when you're searching and you just have to say beef is a good source. Beef is a source for that. And I was doing that this week, really breaking it down and really trying to study why doesn't it bring beef up? Why doesn't it recognize, why doesn't any search engine really recognize the value of like beef organs and liver? What's the deal? So I kept searching and I kept pressing back in my searches because it always brings up fruits and vegetables and nuts. That's it. The best thing you can eat, that's all you need to eat. And I would press back in there and say, well, beef is the number one source for collagen and folate. And the search comes back and says, yes, you are correct. This was an omission, and I continued to follow up and say, why do you always omit the nutrient density of beef? And the answer I got was just staggering. It says the information comes from official data sets.
Wow.
And then it had the USDA in parentheses. So here's our own USDA continuing to suppress the benefits of beef, our own USDA, and people still think the big four packers beef problem. It's just hilarious. But our own USDA suppresses that information, and all these data centers that they're forcing in all across the country, they don't tell anybody what they're for. They just say we have to have them or the Chinese are going to beat us. Basically, they're huge data centers. They're going to tell you what to think, continue to tell you what to think, and right there's proof of it. Our own USDA is suppressing that information. People really need the benefits of beef organ supplements. If you're going to buy a supplement, you can't get vitamin B in any plant, fruit, or nut. You have to get it from beef. You can't get folate from a plant. You have to get it from beef. Mm. You know what we've been eating it as a country for decades, 70 years, is fortified, enriched wheat flour, which is made of folic acid. And it's been pushed on the people as a very similar, it's used very similar. Folic acid is folate. Well, it has the same properties, but folic acid is made out of petroleum oil, over 50% of the people react negatively to that. The other 50% can't even use it. But when you look up all the information out there, they'll push folic acid as the same as folate. And you can only get folate in beef. Your body can only use folate in that form. Vitamin A is the same way. Animals are the only ones that convert vitamin A into retinol. Our bodies can't even use vitamin A. You could eat 1,000 carrots and not get any benefit out of vitamin A like you do beef.
Well, I'll tell you, my family just took a little road trip to Bozeman to visit some friends. A wonderful restaurant there, and I think I had the best steak I have ever tasted. And it's all beef, man. I'm telling you what, it was all about it. And I got to tell you, as soon as you begin talking about what you produce and on a national level, that really strikes a chord.
It does. It does. I think more people are waking up. There's more information available. That's why it's so important for people to stay curious. Don't be afraid to be a curious thinker. Look around. You can get the best beef all over in Montana. It's wonderful. I know they sell our steaks at the Heist in downtown Bozeman at the Yellowstone Club.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
It was at the Heist. Yes, it was. It was delicious. We had a table of 13 people. Every single one of them enjoyed that.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful news.
All right. And so let's look at the future a little bit please go ahead, Nick.
No, I was just going to say, we only have about a minute left here.
Yeah, Brian. About a minute left. So give us the future in a minute and a half.
Well, I think the future of beef looks really good right now. Cattle business looks really good right now because they can't print cattle. And so it takes time to make more cattle, and there's droughts all over. So the price of cattle are going to be stable. It's going to be good for ranchers because every 10 years you got about two good ones to make up for seven losers and one break even. And so that's going to be good. That's been well needed coming up. So I think the price of beef is going to continue to also be high. But when you look at that, that's another thing our entire media system does, is everybody complains about the price of beef in the store. It's relevant to everything else. It's absolutely relevant to everything else. And when they just pull out beef, when they just call out beef and say, that's too high, beef is high, they're just driving you to the center of the stores to buy the garbage.
The outlook
looks pretty good for our industry.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being with us, and best of luck in the Reminis Angus Ranch. I know that you're doing great work up there. Just keep it up, man.
Sounds good. We'll visit in a few weeks. Thank you guys for the opportunity.
It's our pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. All right. So we're going to come back here in just a few seconds. And I do believe we're going to have some open phones from 8:20 until 9 a.m. So if there's something on your mind, I want you to pick up the phone. Get in the queue. 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Back after this.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy, but if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Hey, it's Talkback for this Wednesday, June 24th. All across the state of Montana, Talkback on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'd love to hear from you wherever you might be listening in Montana. 406-721-1290 is our number. Mr. Nick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, something we haven't really talked about since we don't have any calls yet. The Trump administration has ordered the removal of over 900 bison from federal land in Montana, citing concerns about disease transmission to cattle and property damage. According to an article by Ben Ryder in Outdoor Hub, quote, the removal process typically involves capturing bison through specialized facilities and either relocating them to tribal lands, transferring them to conservation herds, or culling the animals. Montana has long grappled with managing bison populations that leave the protected boundaries of Yellowstone, where the largest wild bison herd in the U.S. Resides. These animals represent descendants of the few hundred bison that survived near extinction in the late 1800s.
Wow, yeah.
The directive drew immediate opposition from conservationists and indigenous leaders. Multiple conservation organizations have signaled their intent to contest the decision through legal channels, arguing that the removal lacks scientific justification and undermines decades of collaborative wildlife management efforts. Critics of the plan say that native bison provide ecological benefits that grazing cattle don't, and moreover, large-scale removals can affect the genetic diversity and age structure of the remaining population, particularly when targeting specific groups or locations. And according to Ryder, the long-term implications of this decision will depend on whether it represents an isolated management action or the beginning of a broader policy pattern affecting wildlife conservation on federal lands. And so I know there's a lot of our listeners in the rural part of the state that probably have strong opinions on this, and it's not just a simple, you know, kind of left-right issue. So yeah, if there's any ranchers, hunters, tribal members that want to call in and let us know their thoughts on that, that's kind of one of the big things going on in the state right now.
You bet. I know several years ago, we're based in Missoula, and if you head out towards Lolo, there's a huge pasture area out there as you're headed out, and some folks actually had some bison there. And it was really cool to drive over there, you know, to Lolo and see the buffalo. Every now and then, one of them would get out of the fence, and it was pretty exciting to watch all the concern of getting that critter back in the fence. So
critter, yeah, interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
Not somebody I'd want to argue with, even in my SUV.
Not someone you want to get too close to.
Yeah. All right. Well, our phone lines are open. It's open phones, folks. 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. So if there's something going on in your part of the state, hey, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and maybe promote a little bit for you. So that's kind of why we're here, just as to be a public service. And if we can help you, we'd love to. So.
We can also talk about wildfire season. I know that this is in the getting prepared stage. So I know Montana officials are warning of elevated fire risk in parts of the state after an unusually warm winter and rapid snow melt. Eastern Montana specifically is expected to face above normal fire potential, and drought remains a concern across much of the state. So are we, you know, preparing our home? Should we invest more in firefighting resources? All those type of things. And we have a caller. So
you bet. All right. Our phone number, our phone lines are open, by the way, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We'd love to visit with you. And we have, let's get Susan on. Susan, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'm waiting for movers to come and empty out a storage unit. And one of the biggest wastes of money that anybody has is paying for a storage unit. So I have whittled my storage unit down to a few dozen books. And I'm going to donate them to the Historical Museum for the Military because they have a huge book sale going on July 4th, and this is my attempt to plug the fabulous Fort Missoula 4th of July event that's coming up. It starts at 10 in the morning and goes until 4 in the afternoon. I used to be the MC for it. I did it for like 25 years, and then my knees gave out because I volunteered to dance the entire time, which was a little silly. It was my own fault, but because I love to dance. But the highlight for a lot of people is the book sale. And unfortunately, because I like to write books, and my husband wrote a lot of books. He wrote 60 books.
Wow.
He wrote 60 books. I wrote 22, but I don't know what it is about authors. When they write books, they also collect books.
Right.
So we had thousands of books, and I am now down to a small storage unit, which I am now emptying. And I'm going to be free of the money that I spend because it's for a storage unit this size. It's $150 a month.
Yikes.
I mean, that's, right. You know, that's $150 that I can spend on grandchildren or charities or trips or whatever.
Susan, so, we are running up against a hard break. Thanks for letting us know. Okay. And best of luck with your books. All right. We're going to come right back. 406-721-1290 is our number. Open phones continues until 9 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you're waking... Dennis Bragg updating the weather. A sunny and warm day today before conditions start to fall apart on Thursday. Highs this afternoon should reach into the mid-80s, but with clouds developing later tonight, bringing a 20% chance of rain and lows in the low 50s. Get that lawn mowed because Thursday is now looking mostly cloudy with sun breaks, a 20% chance of showers with afternoon thunderstorms. Highs staying in the 80s for one more day, then a cool down Friday with showers and thunderstorms to end the week, lasting right through the marathon weekend.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Hey, we are back on Talk Back. It's open phones until 9 o'clock this morning all across the state of Montana. We'd love to hear from you wherever you might be. Our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We've got Tim from Florence standing by. Tim, good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Morning, Peter. How's it going today?
Fine, sir. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, just two comments. One, I just wanted to remind everybody, they celebrate coming up during a couple weekends, the 4th of July. It's really just... give some gratitude to the Lord for the great country he's blessed us with and all the sacrifices of those who made it possible.
Amen. Amen.
And two, a plug for my parents. I got a bakery, the Rocking Rose Farm and Artisan Bakery. You can find them on Facebook. They went through a couple of heart surgeries and things recently, kind of just getting back on their feet. They're down at the Hamilton Farmers Market.
Wow.
And if you follow their Facebook page, they also do ones out of their barn. So just wanted to make a plug for them.
Well, that's being a good son. Good job.
Awesome. God bless.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks for the call, sir. Kirk is standing by. Kirk, good morning. It's open phones on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing today?
Fine, sir.
Excellent. Hey, I just had a call about the removal of buffalo or bison from public lands. But you guys didn't mention it, but it really speaks to the American Prairie Reserve, which is in north central Montana. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it's a pretty cool thing. I'm a hunter and a conservationist, which, you know, most hunters have done all of the conservation in America, which seems like an oxymoron, but it's really true. And what they're trying to do is put together a conglomeration of public and private land to kind of recreate the American prairie, and it's mostly in Phillips and Blaine County, and I think that's the area that it's most affected. And it is a complex thing, certainly having been up there. And they actually allow hunting on most of their properties open to the public, as well as hiking and camping. And what they're trying to do is get all the private land in between these big chunks of BLM and public land. And then what they've done is they've leased it, and they're trying to turn it into really open prairie, which includes bison.
Well, that's great. I'm just looking at this at the American Prairie. I just pulled it up. It says American Prairie is a prairie-based nature reserve, as you mentioned, in central Montana, on a short grass prairie ecosystem with migration corridors and native wildlife. And I really appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
It's a pretty cool and wild concept. And again, having been on it and up in those two counties, Phillips County, which is the area south of like Malta and Havre area,
right,
between the Missouri River and the High Line there, is some giant country. And I think people up there get a little weird about outsiders buying up the private land. But also it's a magical thing to drive across the prairie next to wild buffalo, and particularly, you know, if you look at the history of buffalo and, you know, there's a really fascinating story about from our area that really buffalo almost went extinct. And there was a little herd up at Doug Allard's, you know, if you guys are familiar with Doug Allard's place up at Pacific Nation.
I remember the story. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, that's what saved the buffalo, was this weird glitch. And now we have the opportunity to really make a place for them. So as a, again, as a hunter, as a Montana guy, as a, certainly not a, not a, a Greenpeace or anything like that, it's a really cool thing. And, I would encourage people to read about it because, it seems like they're being targeted in a strange way. So.
Well, like I mentioned, there was a private herd between Missoula and Lolo in a large pasture area, and it was always just really kind of a thrill to drive past and see those iconic creatures, you know, in basically in their native habitat. It was good to see. Unfortunately, they're not there anymore, and I miss them.
Yeah, that was out on Brian's old place, and that was owned by Chris, and they actually had a white buffalo born there, which was super cool. I don't know if you saw that couple of years back before they got rid of the herd. And that was a pretty magic thing. And so to go and again, you can camp on the American Prairie Reserve, the APR, and you can hike on it. You can bike on it. They actually have a little yurt system, which is kind of expensive and really geared to out-of-staters, but you can just go camp on it. And friends and I we've hunted elk on it, and it's magic. I mean, it's a really magic place. I would encourage people to look that up and go explore it and make their own decisions about it.
It's one of the things that people, once they do it, they'll never forget it. And it's going to, you know, hopefully the more people that experience it, the more attention it will get. Hey, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, sir. And when we come back from the break, we have Perry from Columbus standing by, Jeff and Harry all standing by. It's open phones from now until 9 o'clock. So stay with us. Our number 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Talk back right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Talk back is brought.
My doctor said I could use something called a biosimilar. Then she told me what it is.
A biosimilar is a type of biologic medication. Just like brand name drugs have generic versions, original biologics can have biosimilars.
So I asked what the benefits are and if they work the same.
Biosimilars have the same safety, effectiveness, and quality as the original biologic. They also offer more medication options at potentially more competitive prices.
My doctor said I could learn more at fda.gov/biosimilars.
Women experience unique life stages such as pregnancy or menopause that can increase their risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the course of their lifetime.
But here's the good news. Women have the best resource.
We have each other. Visit goredforwomen.org today to learn more.
Hey, it's Talk Back right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network all across the state of Montana. 406-721-1290 is our number, and the phone lines are filling up. Perry from Columbus is standing by. Perry, thank you for holding through the break, sir. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Peter. You know, I give a counterpoint to the gentleman who was talking about how wonderful and magical it is that the American Prairie Reserve is taking over the whole of north central Montana. You know, you yourself mentioned that it was trouble when the buffalo got out of the fence there by Missoula.
Right.
You know, the time for these animals, for giant swaths of prairie for them to roam, is long gone. And as far as integrating or forcefully, you know, people have private property. That's one thing. If the American Prairie Reserve can hornswoggle them out of their property with a big, fat, juicy offer, I guess that's no business but theirs. But the idea of them taking, in integrating federal and state land into their no cattle preserve and no production agriculture preserve is just not the right way to go about it. There's actually laws in the federal books that talk about federal land leasing being used for production agriculture only. So, you know, it's not as wonderful and magical to the ranchers and the farmers as they would want you to believe. And as far as elk hunting goes, you know, I'll bet you that elk tag cost him a whole pretty penny to get on that American Prairie Reserve to hunt elk. So, you know, think twice before you support handing over federal and state land that's supposed to be used for production agriculture to an outfit like the American Prairie Reserve. You can't fence these beasts, and they will not stay there. It's the nature of the beast. So you're just inviting the destruction of the cattle industry or helping it along, and which is ask Brian Massard. That's the last thing he would want you to do.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, sir. And Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Montana. A couple of things. Quick question for you. Which country has a 4th of July?
All countries have the 4th of July.
There you go. That's my point. The holiday is not the 4th of July. The holiday is Independence Day.
Right.
And so we need to remember that. I understand people's sentiment, and I'm not really doing more than poking at them a little bit. We celebrate Independence Day because it's the day that this Declaration of Independence was signed. And then also regarding the American Prairie Reserve, last caller didn't hit, I think, the most important point is that bison carry brucellosis, which is very deadly to cattle.
Mm.
And cattle have been inoculated against it, but not all of them. I mean, you know, some slip through, and you can get brucellosis from bison into a herd very easily. And the USDA and ranchers have spent decades, not centuries, trying to get brucellosis out. So, you don't want to bring in an animal that's going to infect your herd. And we have problems down by the border with the New World screwworm. It's coming back up from South and Central America. And it's actually gotten into the United States now. So that's going to be a big enough problem for cattle, let alone trying to get brucellosis back in. So we need to watch out for that. But two funny things that I thought came across here. It was from a site that I read. Five things we learned watching the World Cup on American soil.
Okay.
Number five was hot Swedish girls love America.
Okay.
Okay. One of the New World tourists is a Swedish woman named Elsa, and she reported having an out-of-body experience at Golden Corral.
Okay.
And she documented her first ever encounter with ranch dressing and bacon-wrapped tater tots.
Oh, there you go.
Which I never had, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of understand why a lot of Americans never leave the country. Like, why would you? It has everything. But I'll leave. We have some folks who are on the other side of the political spectrum than I am who call in, and they have supported impeaching Donald Trump. And, you know, the first couple attempts were really, really lame. He had done nothing. But here's a possibility for if the Congress should turn to Democrats, they should look at this, that amid the soccer nonsense, anti-American agitators have resurfaced an old clip of Trump speaking at a World Cup event back in December. And there he said, quote, "This is football. There's no question about it. Do we have to come up with another name for the NFL stuff?" Okay. Now, the American president doing that That is an impeachable offense, folks. I'm sorry. I've been a strong and ardent supporter of Donald Trump, but to say that the NFL is not football and soccer is, I mean, I think he needs to apologize at least to the American people immediately.
I would agree. Wholeheartedly agree. You bet. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. I hope the president is listening since we're statewide now. Anyway, Bill from the Flathead. Good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It makes me think about that fellow that is so American Prairie Reserve pro, anti-private landowner pro, about don't believe everything you think, let alone everything you read.
All right.
And he said it. He said it's magical to drive across the prairie and see the buffalo. How does he feel about driving across the prairie and seeing all the alien spaceship-looking windmills? That saddens me. It is nice to drive across the prairie and see the open space.
All right.
And thanks.
Thank you so much for the call, sir. We are coming up against a break. We have Harry and Catherine both standing by. Our phone lines are open. It is open phones for another, at least 10 minutes or so. 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. That's our number. And we would really appreciate a call from you as we look forward to the 9 o'clock hour. Catherine Conan is going to be joining us this morning. She is executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. She's going to be joining us here in studio. To talk about the Family Foundation from the governor's Family Foundation. So we're looking forward to that visit as well in the 9 o'clock hour here on TalkBack. So we'll be back on the Montana Talks Radio Network right after this quick timeout. So please stay with us.
Looking for a little...
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. Back to open phones. Let's continue now. Harry's been waiting. Harry, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Yeah, you know, this thing about the brucellosis and the buffalo... There's never been a case that I know of that's been documented that they cattle caught brucellosis from buffalo. Now, I know elk carry brucellosis too, so why don't we eliminate them? Because they're a hunting animal, and the hunters would raise holy heck if they did. So, I mean, you know, I understand ranchers, they don't like the competition, so they try to, you know, do away with anything that can, you know, compete with their things. That's why they wiped out the wolves, and if they had their chance again, they would do it again. I mean, they don't want wolves in this kind of thing because it's a threat to their productivity. But still, you know, it's the idea that these buffalo are so dangerous to the cattle. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I say it's just a competition that they don't want to lose. And the rancher that you're talking to earlier, you got to take everything he says with a grain of salt. How, you know, the only way to get this nutrient is through beef. Well, how did people get by without beef beforehand? So, I mean, he's selling something, and I understand, you know, that's, you know, but it's like saying, hey, the only way to, you know, eat this and you'll stay young forever or whatever, you know, and I'm selling it. You know, you always take that with a, you know, well, okay, yeah, you're selling that, so that's why you make the big claims. But, and the price of beef, it pretty much priced me out of it. The only time I buy beef now is if it's on clearance or, you know, that's, you know, he's paying $6 for some ground beef. That's out of my range. So, you know, it's, again, you know, the buffalo, the prairie thing, okay, the law says that they have to be productive or whatever. That's fine. You know, is that state law or that's federal law? But the laws could be changed too. So hopefully they will change the law and they let the buffalo roam again.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get Catherine up. Catherine, good morning. You're on TalkBack. It's open phones. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Going back to the American Prairie thing, talking about because they're 501c3, which is nonprofit, they are eligible for tax exemption on property taxes. Although they do choose to pay property taxes, it is voluntary. They could stop anytime they wanted to. The other thing I wanted to point out is that because they're a 501c3 and it's based in Bozeman, by the way, they can avoid federal income taxes on the revenue generated by the land. So that really impacts the whole tax structure of those counties and of the state, too.
Wow.
So I think that, you know, that needs to be taken into account. Taking these lands out of production, out of agricultural production by ranchers and, you know, by private ranchers who pay the taxes, who run the land and provide for the state. They pay the state income tax and the federal income tax. That makes me wonder, because I don't know what their final goal is, if they're going to continue to allow people to hunt on their land. I know that they want to have the BLM leases in perpetuity also. I don't know if that's even possible, but that's what they're going for. Anyway, I just wanted to bring those facts into the discussion.
All right, Catherine, thanks for the call, as always. We appreciate it. Dave is standing by. Dave, you're going to bring us up to the top of the hour. So we've got about 2.5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, I normally would come on and talk about controversial things like the bomb or genocide, but I'll give you a fun story. A few years ago, I was back east hunting antelope, and I was driving along this gravel road. We were going about 20, 25 miles an hour, and next door was a bison herd in fenced in. And we were just driving along, and suddenly one of the bison jumped the fence in front of our vehicle and then proceeded to run along the road in front of our vehicle, going about 25 miles an hour.
Wow.
We were just following this bison. And a couple hundred yards down the road, the bison jumped back over the fence and back into the herd, and we proceeded. We proceeded along our way. We were at a loss to know what to do about the situation, whether to stop or whatever.
I hope you got video. Did you get a photo or a video?
No, we didn't. We were just too shocked that we were chasing this bison down the road. But for another day, a controversial day in the future.
Okay. Well, Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
And sure, thanks
for sharing that with us. We appreciate that. A close encounter with an iconic animal, the American bison. There you go. So we're about a minute away from wrapping up Open Phones. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking with Catherine Conan. She is executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. And our governor, a very philanthropic gentleman, and his entire family joins him with that. So I know that I was at an event where he gave away a month of his salary to a whole bunch of nonprofits, and it was just a wonderful time right around Christmas. So anyway, we're going to come right back and talk with Catherine when we come back after the top of the hour, and we'd love to have you be a part of the conversation at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, you're listening to Talkback statewide now on the Montana Talks Radio Network, and we're looking forward to our visit with Catherine in the 9 o'clock hour. So please stay with us right after the top of the hour. We will continue talk back. So please stay with us. Again, our number 406-721-1290.
Views of opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of Talk Back is underway right now. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning, producing Talk Back. And we are privileged to have with us a member of Governor Gianforte's staff. Catherine Conan is with us, executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. Welcome. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Tell us a little about Catherine Conan, if you would mind.
Oh, well, I could talk for a long time about that.
Please, go ahead. Yeah.
So I work for the Gianforte Family Foundation. So just, I think it's confusing for a lot of people, but we're completely separate from his state staff. The foundation itself has been around for over 20 years. So I started working for it about 13 years ago.
Wow.
Gosh, you want me to talk about me personally?
You could do
who doesn't
that.
Who like talking
but,
about themselves?
But also about the story of the foundation, how it got started and all that. So please, the floor is yours.
Oh boy. I've live in Bozeman, and I've been there for almost 30 years. I feel like I need to explain that to people when I say that I live in Bozeman.
It's all right.
I went there for college and graduated from the architecture program there and have lived there ever since. And I was married, four kids, ranging from 10 to 20 years old.
No, such a come joy. On.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
wow.
I know, because I had my first one when I was like 5. And so it's good. Yeah, I'm 25.
There you go. All right, sorry.
And that's pretty great, of course. They're the best thing. And my husband's pretty great too, by the way.
Oh, that's good to know. He does add a little to the mix. Yeah.
Yeah. I started with the foundation when I was at a point where I was still having kids and working, kind of just doing odd jobs at home, picking up different things. My husband was working, and we were acquaintances with Greg and Susan Gianforte through some different connections in Bozeman and through the school where their kids went. My husband's a teacher, and they had a position for somebody who they were looking for someone to come help them administratively with the foundation, just part-time, work from home. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I could stay home with my kids, and I'm really detail-oriented to the point of being OCD, so I can do the admin thing pretty well.
I'm sure they love that, yeah.
So that's how it started. That was 13 years ago. And as the role has since grown, we now have a staff of 3, soon to be 4. We're hiring right now for a 4th person who just retired. And the foundation has been around since 2004. So they've been giving away their money for over 20 years with a main focus on Montana. They've given away over $147 million, most of that focused on Montana.
Wow.
Just last year, we gave away over $16 million. Again, the majority of that focused on work in Montana. And if you like numbers, which I do.
Yes, please.
That looked like over 3,500 grants since 2004, 400 just last year to 250 different nonprofits, 800 nonprofits in the past 20 years, but 400 just last year. So it's their money, it's their personal wealth, and they believe that to whom much is given, much is expected, and so they wanted to give it back. They're like, we have this, and we want to help people. And we want to give our money to nonprofits in Montana, the state that we love, who are just doing excellent work, helping families. And we have lots of focus areas. I'm going to talk about all of that, but that's the overall background of the foundation.
Well, that's perfect because we're up against a break. Your timing is exquisite. See, it's all that, you know, public relations work.
Yes,
you have a second sense about it. Well, we're going to come right back, and we have Al waiting on the phone to visit with you. Our guest here in the studio, Catherine Conan, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. And it must be nice working directly with the governor and his family. Talk about that as well. We're going to come right back. Our telephone number 406-721-1290. We'll be coming back right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dennis Bragg updating the weather. A sunny and warm day today before conditions start to fall apart on Thursday. Highs this afternoon should reach into the mid-80s, but with clouds developing later tonight, bringing a 20% chance of rain and lows in the low 50s. Get that lawn mowed because Thursday is now looking mostly cloudy with sun breaks, a 20% chance of showers with afternoon thunderstorms. Highs staying in the 80s for one more day, then a cool down Friday with showers and thunderstorms to end the week, lasting right through the marathon weekend.
Hey, we are back. This is Talk Back. Glad to have you along this morning on the Montana Talks Radio Network all across the state of Montana. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Our guest in studio, Catherine Conan, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. Folks are already calling in to visit with you, and Al is standing by. Al, good morning, sir. You're on with Catherine Conan. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for coming on. I suppose you could say that my question is kind of political. To set you at ease, I'm a right-winger asking you this question. Missoula and Missoula County, on the voting rolls, they both, the city and the county in Missoula, both vote around 66% Democrat. Give me your best guess on Bozeman and Gallatin County on... I assume that it's heavy Democrat. Give me your best guess. I'm curious. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the okay. call. I'll leave you hanging there. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, Al, you were probably asked one of the most unlikely to know that answer person. So the foundation itself obviously is not political.
Right.
And I almost intentionally... stay out of the major politics, just because I think it helps me do my job better. I personally, right, am generally more right leaning, but I don't really track the major cities and how they vote in the polling. I tend to just focus more on the philanthropy side, which is very, very bipartisan, apolitical, however you want to put it.
Well, let's put it, or nonpartisan, yeah.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, I've been acquainted with Governor Gianforte for many years now, and I know that he and Steve Daines were business partners and dear friends, and I know both of them have a heart for service in the state of Montana, whether it's in Washington or here in Montana.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about what it's like to be a part of the foundation.
Yeah, so the foundation is really geared towards helping families in Montana. And I think everybody would agree, no matter how you vote, that that's an important thing to do. We want to see communities flourish, and so much of that does come down to strong families. So the majority of our giving is to organizations that in some way or other help families in Montana thrive. So generally, you know, when you think about families in poverty, we might support rescue missions who are helping families with homelessness or children who are in foster care. We support a lot of groups like that. I can go into all the details of those types of groups, and I will later because I've got all the information here. But anything that comes down to families thriving, families being successful, and that goes into relational factors, economic factors. There's so many parts of that. We want to be supporting those organizations. We also do a lot of faith-based work. So we are people of the Christian faith, and if there's an opportunity to work with an organization that is meeting somebody's tangible needs or relational needs, but also presenting a spiritual side to it, you know, not forcing it on anybody, but presenting the gospel, we want to support that as well in Montana because we believe that there's more to somebody than just their physical and tangible needs. We want to address that spiritual element as well. That brings something beyond a meal or a bed, right? That brings a hope mm-hmm. that surpasses all those other things. So working for the foundation is getting to meet nonprofits who are doing that work, getting to know their directors, even sometimes knowing the people they're serving, which is one of my favorite parts, and then supporting them as best we can to do their work well. We have a team. There's, again, I think I mentioned earlier, there's three of us on staff right now, and our job is to go around and meet these nonprofits and see which ones we can support and how we can support them better to do their work better, to serve more people, to have more of an impact on the state.
What kind of criteria are you looking for when you meet with these nonprofits, especially the newer ones, the ones that mm-hmm. have just been established, not the ones like United Way has been around for a long time, but newer organizations that are reaching out saying, hey, this is we're working in our community. How can you help us and how can we help you?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest things that people who aren't in philanthropy, and I have not always been in philanthropy, so this was new to me as well, they don't always realize is it's really good to have a focus And that doesn't mean we don't care about other causes, but it means that we want to support things in a specific areas because it just helps our resources go better. We only have so much capacity, both staff and resource-wise. So we want to find things, maybe hone in on a few things that we're really passionate about and support those. So the majority of our giving, not exclusively, but the majority is to Christian organizations in the state. So you don't have to be Christian to be eligible, but... again, that's an area that we focus on. Many funders don't, and so it's kind of a niche that we can fill, as well as aligning with our values. We want to see community support. So most nonprofits, we would want to see that they've been doing something that their community is supportive of them. It's hard to fund a startup nonprofit sometimes if there isn't some kind of track record or research that shows that what they're about to do is going to be really effective. A lot of people want to, they have a heart and a passion for something, and that's right. Exciting. It's laudable. They start a nonprofit and they want to do something.
And then sometimes they run into that wall into what we need to do requires money. And how do you go about reaching out for that?
Yeah. Well, for them, it requires money, or they don't realize somebody else is already doing it in their community.
Right, you're one way to redundant,
so,
yeah.
So we do a lot of connecting as well.
Sure,
did you know that this person is doing something really similar? Maybe you can work together and have an even bigger impact.
I call it the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Yeah. So I think if somebody wanted to, first of all, get involved with us as a nonprofit, we have a website. They can reach out, gianfortefoundation.org. I'll throw that out many times throughout the show because we do like to hear from people.
You bet.
We have a contact us page on that website. Anybody can go there, fill out a really brief form, and it goes to all three of us who work at the foundation. And we usually respond within a week, at least, sometimes sooner, to whatever their question is. And usually it's, here's my nonprofit. Is this a fit? And then we will tell you yes or no. We're really good at saying no. We like to say yes, but we also... have to say no,
yes.
And we're good at it. And plus, everybody who works at the foundation has kids, so we already have that ingrained ability. No, but very gracious.
No, you can't have more ice cream.
Right,
yeah, right. Yeah,
we love what so many groups are doing, but yeah. No, in terms of it's not a fit.
Our guest here in the studio, Catherine Conan, she's executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. Just kind of if you will, opening the first book of the. First part of the book on this. And when we come back, Skip is waiting to visit with you. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. A Sheridan County man is facing thousands of years in prison following a massive sexual assault and drug investigation involving multiple juvenile victims. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson announcing that his office has filed 25 felony counts against 40-year-old Ivan Edward Greenwell. The extensive list of charges includes incest, sexual abuse of children, sexual intercourse without consent, and the criminal distribution of dangerous drugs. According to investigators, the abuse took place over a 4-year period. Victims disclosed to authorities that Greenwell would force them to watch pornography and provide them with drugs and alcohol in exchange for performing sexual acts. Greenwell is currently being held in North Dakota on separate similar charges, and his Montana arraignment is now set for July 14th. If he's convicted on all 25 counts, he faces up to 2,200 years in state prison and a $1.3 million fine. A Missoula woman is behind bars following a terrifying neighborhood dispute involving a baseball bat and multiple weapons. Missoula County Sheriff's deputies arrested 41-year-old Jessica Stackhouse last week after she allegedly threatened a neighbor and his 2-year-old son. Authorities say Stackhouse marched up to her neighbor's fence brandishing a metal baseball bat and wearing several throwing knives and hatchets on her belt. Following her arrest, deputies also discovered over 9 grams of methamphetamine in her possession. Stackhouse now faces felony charges for assault with a weapon and dangerous drug possession.
Montana ranks 5th in the nation for the deadliest driver habits, according to an analysis of federal crash data. The study found Montana recorded nearly 13 speeding-related traffic deaths per 100 licensed drivers between 2020 and 2024, one of the highest rates in the country. Researchers say speeding continues to be the biggest factor driving Montana's ranking, while distracted driving deaths were lower than many other states. The report found states in the Mountain West and South had the highest rates of fatal crashes linked to speeding and distracted driving. Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
Hey, we are back, and this is Talk Back for this Wednesday, June 24th. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen producing Talk Back, taking your phone calls, and our guest in the studio, we're honored to have Catherine Conan joining us. She's executive director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. We're getting rolling here with finding out what that's all about. But Skip is on the line right now. Skip, good morning. You're on with Catherine.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And Catherine, thanks for coming on. When I heard you start talking, I thought I'd throw in something that I've experienced over the years. I can remember all the way back to when Governor Gregg was running for the first time as governor. And just by observation, anytime I was in a room, large or small groups where Governor Gregg was there and his wife, Susan, is what I wanted to get to, is to her participation behind the scenes in so many things. It's very obvious to me that she spends her day helping a lot of people in a lot of ways, quietly behind the scenes. And I thought I'd bring that up so you could expound on it, because Susan is I just from observation and just a few tiny conversations, I can just tell that she spends her day doing very productive and nice things. So I thought I'd drop that and see what you had to say about it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Okay. There's your softball. So it's all yours. Go ahead.
Skip, I agree with you. No, I can expand on that a little bit. Susan is probably one of the hardest working women I've ever met. Yeah, she does a lot, and they make a really good team. She has her own separate foundation, and it's completely separate from me, but I'll just put it out there since you asked, the Treasure State Foundation that she started as a first lady, and that supports the Dolly Parton Imagination Library around the state, which provides free books to kids under five.
We do that right here at the Missoula Public Library.
Yep, yeah. Yep, I bet. A lot of United Ways and libraries are involved with that.
Right.
And that is about the extent of the details I can give you on that, because, again, that's separate from right. the Family Foundation, but they have a website. You can look them up and just know that that's another thing that she started in her tireless work to serve people. And she's very kind as well. Yes, Skip. I agree with you completely.
So let's talk a little bit about the Gianforte Family Foundation. What is it? What does it do? If people want to contribute, things like that, how do we become a part of that?
Yeah, well, I can give you kind of philanthropy 101.
Oh, please here. Do, yes.
Because, again, I didn't know any of this. 13 years ago, before I was working for the foundation, I was like, is this even a thing? Do people get paid to do this? And they do. And it's wonderful. So this is a family foundation. That means it was established by a family. It's the family's wealth that contributes to it. And then, of course, the interest that grows off those earnings.
People that don't know, Governor Gianforte was a very prominent businessman for many, many, many years before he ran for governor. Yep. And so he brought all of that experience with him into the state capitol. So, please.
Yeah, he did. And then into Bozeman, you know, he started Right Now Technologies in Bozeman, I want to say in 1995. So long before I was born. You know? and he it was very successful with that and other businesses before that. And so they they were successful and they took the resources that they earned from that and they started this foundation. So we want to give away our money. So the foundation, you don't donate to it. Other people, outside parties, don't donate to it. It's their personal wealth that they're pulling from to give to nonprofits around the state.
That so, way they're not beholden to anyone, right?
They're not beholden to anyone. Right. Yeah. And it's what they want to do, right? It's their money. They want to give it away. They really do have a heart for serving people and helping people. And they're just very humble. I mean, they're not going to just keep their money and go do all these fancy things and buy fancy stuff. They want to give it away. They live pretty humbly. It's really inspiring to see how they live sometimes. But anyways, so the way a family foundation works is if you're a foundation that wants to last forever, you give away just the minimum amount every year. And IRS requirement is that's 5% of your earnings every year. Of your corpus. We are not necessarily beholden to that. We would like to give away much more than that every year. So we just, our job is to take this money, resources that they've accumulated, and give away ideally more and more every year. In Montana, within the focus areas that we have, to really help people in their lives. And when we're looking at nonprofits, we're looking for organizations, like I said, that have some kind of track record, that have strong leadership, that their work and values align with our foundation's values. That's one of the benefits of having a family foundation or more of a private foundation is you can give according to your values. You're not taking money from other people and then giving it necessarily to things that you might not feel like are as effective.
Well, with a family foundation, you get to set the table. Right?
Yeah. They get to set the table and we get to carry it up.
Right, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so the trustees, so Greg and Susan, you know, they have things that they care about and they're really smart. They've been very smart, obviously, for many years with their businesses. And so they know how to kind of be wise with money, how to be effective, how to make it go as far as possible and do the best work.
We're going to come right back. And when we come back, Lisa is waiting to visit with you and all of our other phone lines all across the state of Montana, by the way. We would love to have you talk with our guest, Catherine Conan, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. Our phone number is 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And Catherine's going to be with us all the way until 10 o'clock. So if you're busy doing something right now, call us between 9:30 and 10, and we would love to have you be a part of the show. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Talk Back right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Talk Back is brought to you.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries. Leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
Back. This is Talk Back for Wednesday, June 24th. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. I'm Peter Christian, hosting the show, and joining us here in the studio, Catherine Conan, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. And we've got Lisa, who's waiting through the break. Lisa, good morning. You're on with Catherine. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Catherine. And I would like to say that it is wonderful to have this presentation here this morning. A lot of people probably have no idea what Governor Gianforte does behind the scenes. He puts his money where his mouth is, and he is not just talking about it. I was very much impressed to hear that most of his charities are preferred to be Christian-oriented. I myself have several organizations that I support here in the state of Montana, some of them over in Kalispell. And I would have to say there is so many people out there, so many families and children that are not being taught any Christian values no more at all. And it is good to know that there is organizations and places that emphasize on that. They will not teach them anything bad. They will try to make good citizens out of the children and even try to teach some of those values to the parents. They probably have never been taught that either. And I would have to say we really need it nowadays.
Go ahead, please. Please.
So I would have to say I'm very thankful about the governor. And I would also have to say there's probably other politicians or famous people that do the same, except they don't talk about it. And I am not trying to tell people that I'm giving to my money to organizations, because the Bible says clearly, do not brag about it. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But I just wanted to say it is so important that these organizations are getting help. Thank you.
Lisa, thanks for the call. Yeah, that's a beautiful call.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for your support to those nonprofits. I'm guessing we might overlap a little bit on some of the groups we support. We do a lot in Kalispell, statewide, but in Kalispell as well. So thank you.
I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was something called a success sequence. If you wouldn't mind sharing that with us, please.
Well, the success sequence is me nerding out on sociological data. So okay. Everybody has to bear with me now while I talk about it. But it's
put on your nerd hat,
yeah,
everybody.
It's on. Yeah. So I guess the reason I'm interested in the success sequence is because a lot of times people will ask, you know, why does the foundation care so much about supporting families? And really, before we even knew about the success sequence, this was the passion of the family, of the Gianforte family, was how can we help families in Montana thrive? And there are many ways to do that, thrive economically, spiritually, relationally, all of those things. And again, that comes from our Christian faith and just kind of common sense that families are the building block of community and society. But the success sequence is something that I learned about in the last 6 or 7 years, maybe. And it's been around much longer than that. And it's kind of like hard data that backs up all those other intuitions that we have on the importance, not just of family, but of the order that you do things. So the success sequence is this, it's a concept that's been proven many times. And the Brookings Institute really made it more popular. But the idea is individuals, or let's say youth, right? Kids, young adults who do things in this order are 90% likely to not be in poverty in their 30s. And that order is graduate high school, get a full-time job, and then if you're going to get married and have kids, get married first and then have kids. So it's something that I think it doesn't matter your race, your religion, even necessarily where you come from. If you do things in that order, you are almost guaranteed based on this data that's been around for a long time now, to not be in poverty as adults. And so even if you're just thinking secularly, how can we help people thrive, encouraging kind of this structure of getting at least a high school education and then working full time or going to college and getting kind of that meaningful work aspect in your life and then getting married and then having kids in that order. It's not just that it would give you maybe a more stable life in many ways, but economically, if all you're worried about is keeping people out of poverty, there's something to hang on to.
Right. Wow, we are coming up against a break. And by the way, all of our phone lines are open. If you have a question for Catherine Conan, please give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And keep in mind, we're all over the state of Montana. So whether you're calling from Malta or Billings or Missoula or Roundup or whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. I know Catherine would as well. Our number, 406-721-1290. We're going to come right back after this time out on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back right back.
Congress is making.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Hey, this is the Wednesday edition of Talk Back, and we're thrilled and privileged to have with us Catherine Conan, joining us, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation, and folks are waiting on the phone to visit with you. Catherine, we've got John from Kalispell up first. John, go ahead. You're on with Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. My name's John, obviously, I guess. Hey, we're foster parents out here in Flathead County, and I'm not sure if it's the foundation or the Gianforte family themselves that have been supportive of ChildBridge out here, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, yeah, John, thank you. Thank you for fostering. That's a much harder job and lift than what we do. That's huge.
Tell us a little bit about the organization, if you wouldn't mind, John.
ChildBridge recruits and supports and trains foster families here and throughout Montana, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they provide classes. They get families together and take care of the kids while the parents hang out and learn about how to be better foster parents or just how to deal with some things.
Yep. Yeah, we love ChildBridge. We've been a partner with them, I want to say maybe 8 years, maybe longer. I'd have to go back and look at our files. But they first started, and John, you probably already know a lot of this. They first started in Big Fork, and it was with a family or a couple who just saw the need for kids in the who saw the numbers of kids in the foster care system. It was an article that they had read in a national or maybe even international publication. And it was Mary and Steve Bryan, who Mary, I don't know if Mary, you're listening, but hi, Mary.
Yeah.
I miss talking to you. She's great. And they saw this article, and it talked about if I think it was one third of every Christian family adopted one foster kid, there would be no kids left in the system. They would all be in a family taken care of, right? And and so they had a heart. They said, we need to help in Montana address the crisis of foster kids here by going to churches and recruiting families to be foster parents or to be respite parents who would help foster families with breaks when they need them, and then to train those families to be able to be in it for the long haul, because John, you would know much better than I would that it's not easy and that there are probably times when maybe you want to give up, right? Or other families have given up, and so kids are bounced around from home to home. And ChildBridge makes strong homes who can support the kids through all the trauma that they've gone through. They provide resources to families, support, kind of like support groups, incredible trainings. They're huge. And so they went from Big Fork to now statewide. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and they recently launched something with the reservations and trying to support that community as well, just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But they've been really helpful to our family and lots of people that we know. And
I'm so glad.
We just appreciate appreciate y'all helping them out.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate that. Let's get Jeff on the line. Now, Jeff, good morning. You're on with Catherine. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Excuse me. I live up here on the reservation in Polson, and over the years, we've amassed a nice nest egg, following some good financial principles. Nothing like the Gianfortes. We're multiple zeros off of the Gianforte family. But one of the things we give up here, and mainly it's to following the biblical admonition to widows and orphans, so we're kind of focused on that,
mm-hmm.
Feeding and that sort of thing, caring for. And I had some thoughts about, I've already started a charitable trust, remainder unit trust. But I would like that to turn into either a 501c3 or find a 501c3 who could be a good steward of that. So what sort of 101 thing should I be looking for when starting to do that? I'm not going to say I'm completely ignorant, but I'm definitely a novice at trying to do the legal side of things. So what are some pitfalls I should watch out for?
I'll bet there are a lot of people that would like to do that. So yeah but that's a great start for the call. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. So you have resources and you want to create basically some type of trust or foundation to distribute them. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, he's hung up. So
okay, great. Well, I can give a little bit about that now, but Jeff, if you're still listening, you can also email me through our website, through the contact us form, just fill that out and say who you are, and I'll email you separately too with a little more details. So,
what's the email address?
My email address is Catherine, CATHERINE, at gianfortefoundation.org.
Okay.
But if you go to our website and do the contact us form, that goes to me too.
Great.
And then you don't have to remember my email address.
Gotcha.
And I will reach out to you then. But so first of all, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an accountant. So I know that...
And you don't play one on TV.
Yes, I don't. I mean, maybe I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I know that there's paperwork that you have to fill out, obviously, with the IRS in terms of setting up that type of entity. But the biggest thing, more conceptually maybe than on the legal accounting side, I think would be to figure out what you want to fund and then put the guidelines in place for that. You'd probably have to create some type of bylaws for whatever entity you're going to create. Again, not a lawyer. This is just based on my experience anecdotally.
Well, let me ask you this. Sorry to interrupt, but I bet that there are lots of attorneys out there who are civic-minded, who mm-hmm. somebody's trying to start something like this, would be happy to give them some advice just to get them started.
Yeah, yeah. I assume that there are. And the Montana Nonprofit Association, I think they have a lot of partners, maybe attorney partners who can offer counsel in this as well. So you could always go to their website, Montana Nonprofit Association. But for me, more from the strategy side of philanthropy, I think what you really want to do is get in place the guidelines of how you want to give away your money. Do you want the assets that you have to last forever, where you're only giving away the minimum amount every year and it grows every year? When you do that, that means you have to have somebody that you trust to carry it on forever. Nobody lives forever. So you have to have a chain or guidelines in place on how that money is going to be spent, or you have to maybe not care how it's spent 50 years from now and let whoever's running it at that point.
We're running up against a hard break, but we'll continue with that when we come back. It's very important. And our phone lines are open, by the way, at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Catherine Conan, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation, going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock. We're going to come right back, hopefully with your phone calls from all across the state of Montana on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey, welcome back, everybody. The closing segment of Talk Back this morning. I just want to say thank you to Catherine Conan, by the way, Executive Director of the Gianforte Family Foundation. Thanks for spending your time with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
And you had to travel to get here, so we really appreciate that. I know that can be a burden, but on a beautiful day like this, say.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I'll do it anytime.
Perfect for a drive. All right, so let's continue. This is our final segment, so anything that you haven't covered yet about the foundation?
Yeah, well, I'll just wrap up really quick to Jeff to just be thinking about as you're putting this in place, the areas you want to give to, the areas you don't want to give to, how long you want it to last. Those are the things that are going to take a lot of thought and strategy on your part. And then all the paperwork and legal stuff other people can help you with. And feel free to reach out to me if you have any other questions through our website. But I feel like it's helpful for people to know maybe more specifically, and it's inspiring to know the types of nonprofits that are out there that we support, and specifically in Missoula. So like last year in 2025, we gave over $1 million just in Missoula directly. And that was to groups like Teen Challenge, Adult and Teen Challenge. In Missoula, they have a campus for women here. They're expanding that campus. So they serve women who are in recovery. They provide, it's a one-year program to help women just get back on their feet and learn positive skills to stay clean and sober. It's also a place where women with young children can be reunited with their children or stay with their children. So really cool. They're expanding. There's a lot of robotics clubs in Missoula. Missoula has like a booming robotics community. It's fun. I got to come out and visit some of the teams last year as they were just doing one of their kind of club sessions, and they have kids from all ages that are doing cool robotics stuff. And so we like to support the robotics in the schools all around the state. We support Empowered, which is a program through the State Chamber of Commerce, and that equips teachers to teach entrepreneurial principles, including helping a lot of kids start their own businesses. And they have a kind of capstone project where they enter a business competition at the end of the year, and it's a business pitch competition. And some of the winners this year from the whole state were from Missoula. So that was really cool. ChildBridge, like John mentioned, we do a lot with ChildBridge and foster communities, homeless shelters. We visited with Hope Rescue Mission here in Missoula yesterday. There's just this really incredible, inspiring work going on around the state that we're thrilled to support. And we're also working in Native communities. We have a specific role at our foundation, our Native Initiatives Director, Tim, who works in the communities there to identify local things that are happening, being locally led, and how can we come alongside and support them in a humble and culturally sensitive way. So we just have a huge heart for wanting families everywhere to be strengthened in the state.
I will bet you that every person who's been listening to this show since you started talking realizes, just from the tone of your voice, that you absolutely love what you do.
I have the best job ever. Yeah, it's better than yours, Peter. Sorry. It's pretty great. And we love meeting with people. So the last thing I'll throw out there is relationships are key for us, not just forming strong relationships with our partners that we're funding, but knowing that their work that they're doing for the people they're serving is relationship-based. It's not just handouts. It's not just transactional, but they really, people change through relationships. And so we provide relationships with our partners, and we also provide enrichment programs to our partners where they can learn to be better directors or be more supportive executive directors of the nonprofits or be better board members. We like to provide just resources to help people beyond the grants that we give them. I could talk about that next time I'm on. How about that?
well, we still have about a minute and a half. So if you'd like to wrap up, give us some contact information, things like that, if you don't mind. Please.
Yeah. So our website, again, gianfortefoundation.org. If you don't know how to spell Gianforte, you could probably find it online. Gianfortefoundation.org.
Welcome to Montana, by the way, if you don't know how to spell Gianforte. But go ahead, yeah.
And really, there's a contact us page there that is, like, the minute you submit, it goes to all three of us staff people, and we all check them. And so you won't be ignored. It might be a few days because it's summer, and full disclosure, I'm going to be going on vacation in a couple days. But we will get back to you, and we're happy to talk to people. And a lot of times it's a nonprofit, again, that is not something that we focus on. But if there's a way we can make a connection between you and other nonprofits who are doing similar work, or maybe even potentially other funders who would support you, we'd love to do that. There's so many excellent work being done around the state by nonprofits, and I just feel really privileged that we get to work with these leaders all the time.
And it takes a special person to establish and be patient enough to help a nonprofit grow.
Yes, yes, I think it does. But the thing is, they're the ones that are doing the hard work. You know, we just get to come alongside and support them. And so that's kind of nice in a way.
You bet. All right. Well, Catherine, it's been a delight getting to know you. And please, don't be a stranger. You're welcome back anytime.
Okay. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Catherine Conan has been our guest, executive director, by the way, of the Gianforte Family Foundation. And Mr. Nick, as we look forward to Thursday, what's coming up on Talkback, sir?
Yeah, it'll be the Montana World Affairs Council, Bob Seidenschwartz. His guest will be Jonathan Granoff. They'll focus on advancing the rule of law to address international security and the threats posed by nuclear weapons. Granoff's an attorney, author, and international advocate, emphasizing the legal and ethical dimensions of human development and security. So big business card there. But yeah, I believe Granoff will be with us from 8 to 9:30. And then maybe we'll kick around, kind of open phones, 9:30 to 10.
So. All right. And again, a big thank you to Catherine for being with us. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a safe drive back.
Thank you.
Headed back to Helena?
Bozeman.
Bozeman.
I'm in Bozeman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no,
that's
right.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. And thanks to all of you. And thanks for your calls this morning. We appreciate it, every single one of them. And get out there and enjoy this spectacular day here in western Montana. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock, for another edition of Talkback. See you then.